Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. So we've been looking at our faith and confession, and we've covered many angles of this subject from the Word of God, and we've looked at many different scriptures and records, and we've looked at the different laws, like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death, the law of the mind, the law of faith. There's many different laws, principles that we can apply, like when we confess God's Word, when we say what God says, then that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that force is at work in our life. When we talk the old man talk, when we talk and say what the world says, then we're activating that force of the law and sin and death. So our words, what we say, are very powerful. They either make us victorious in life or they either defeat us. So our words can defeat us. We've learned, and I also covered about, we need to say God's word with our mouth so that that word gets into the depths of our heart. So what we've been listening to and paying attention to and what we've been saying will get into our heart. So tonight I want to look at sowing and reaping with our words, because it's just our words act as the same principles as a farmer sows his seeds. So when it comes to our faith and confession, we must remember that what we are confessing and calling for, based on God's promises, will take time to manifest. If we have been talking negatively for years and saying what the problems are, we need to begin to release our faith-filled words. We can't expect things to change overnight just because we've changed our confession. We have to get the word in our heart, and then we have to start saying what God says. We won't get a harvest overnight because we just started saying what God says. So we've been saying for years, I'm a failure, nothing works for me, in our heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So now we need to retrain ourselves with the Word of God and start getting God's Word. That Word, the entrance of that Word bringeth light. And as we start to say that Word to ourselves, as we meditate upon the scriptures and say what God says, and then start speaking what God says rather than what we see, then the word that we've sown in our heart is going to produce faith, and our words will become faith-filled words. But we need to start, and we need to begin to say what God says. There's a starting point. So if you've been saying the wrong thing, even as a believer, you can change right away. You can start changing. You can start sowing your words of faith right now, okay? And we can start to say what God says. And we need to not only begin to say what God says, but we need to continue to say what God says. So the harvest of our confession will come. So we keep saying, we say what God says, we don't utter the circumstances, what we see, what we're seeing with our senses, what we hear on the news, the bad reports that somebody else may be having, or what we even may receive ourselves. But we bring the promises of God into that situation, and we start to say those promises. So we need to come to the Word to find out what those promises are. A farmer who sows his seeds in the field does not see a harvest overnight, but he sows his seed and waters where he has sown, and in the right time he will receive the harvest. So when we start saying the word, we start planting that word, and then we continue to say God's word. And then as we're doing that, it's like watering God's word, giving substance to it so it starts to produce and grow. So it's the same with our confession. We say what the word of God says about our situation and what we are believing for, and we continue to confess the word. Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. That it works. Okay, you'll know it experientially, and that truth will make you free. So remember, I've taught in my other teachings that the word of God is seed, and the word, like any other seed, the same principle is the same. So if you are saying what God is saying in your situation right now, and then you begin to talk negative words, it is like digging your seed up. You're going to kill the seed off in time, right, and stop it from growing. So when we start to say God's word, we also have to believe what we're saying. We have to believe in our heart and say with our mouth how we got born again. Romans 10:9-10, we said Jesus is Lord, and we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So we have to believe it in our hearts and doubt not. So the doubt is like digging up the seed. So let's read again in Mark 11, because take our time, and the way we get familiar with anything is by keep going over something. So if I want to get to know you, you know, I stay in contact with you, and we develop and we bring a relationship together. When we go to the Word of God, we keep getting ourselves familiar with what the verse is saying to us, what the Word of God is saying to us, then we won't forget it. So let's have a read. Mark 11:22-24. And in verse 22 it says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Verse 23, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So what I've done is I've broken these verses down and I put it into categories. So number one, we are to have faith like God, to have the God type of faith. And so to understand what type of faith God had, we need to go to the scriptures to see this. Number two, we speak to the problem, the mountain. The mountain is referring to problems or the situations that come up in our life. So one, we are to have faith like God. Two, we are to speak to the problem. Three, we doubt not in our heart. Now, this is a key thing here because, you know, we can have faith but also have doubts. And God doesn't want us to have doubts. We need to have full faith. We need to believe the words that we're speaking without no doubt. Doubt issues in worries and fears, and it issues in unbelief. Okay, so we need to deal with the doubt. So if there's a doubt when you're making your confession, start dealing with the doubt. And go to the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And there's no better way to hear the word of God than coming from your own mouth. But we need to take time to read. We need to meditate upon the scriptures. We need to let it sink into our heart to get the understanding. Don't forget when Jesus Christ talked about the parable of the sower, you know, in Matthew 13. You know, he said, those that didn't understand, then cometh the wicked way and taketh the word that was sown in his heart. So we need to have understanding. And so that takes study, that takes meditating upon the word and letting God work in our heart and open up the scriptures to us. And number four, we believe what we are saying will come to pass. You have to believe with no doubt that what you're saying is going to come to pass. And we have to remember that when we're saying what God says, God's word is true, it's not a lie, it will come to pass. It's living and real, it's quick, it's powerful and sharp. So when we get that understanding about the word and what the word is, that the word is life, there's power in the word, there's authority in the word, then we start to have confidence when we speak that word. We know it's going to produce for us. In fact, we also know we speak the negative words, that that's going to produce for us as well, if we're saying what the word says. And then number five, I put down, we will call for what we believe. Jesus Christ, or whatsoever things you desire. Verse 24, therefore I send you whatsoever things you desire. That word is call for. When you pray, believe that you received them. So what we're saying, we believe we've already got it. And that ties in with Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we believe we've already received it. Then it becomes manifest. So we also notice in verse 23, Jesus said, whosoever shall say. So this will work for those whosoever will say what God says. Are you a whosoever that will begin to say what God says? So ask yourself that question. So I'll say that again. Okay, so Jesus said, whosoever shall say. So this will work for those whosoever will say what God says. And we got to be those people that are going to make up our minds to start saying what God says about life and our situation and our circumstances, rather than saying what the circumstances are saying, because we can change them with our words, okay, with the word of God living in our heart. So God wants us to release and believe every word we are saying. As we're practicing saying what God's saying, we will overcome. It takes time to develop our faith and our speech. So what do you desire to come to pass in your life? And just remember, it takes practice. It's going to take time. You know, if we've had years and years of saying the wrong things or saying what Joe Blogg says, then, you know, we're going to have to undo those things and replace it with the word. So before we were born again, and even after, we have developed our speech to speak like the world. The worries, the fears, the doubts, the lack, the sickness, the disease, all the things that this world promotes or Satan promotes through the world's systems. But now as we realize we are a new creation in Christ, this is the key. We're a new creation. When we said Jesus is Lord and believed God raised him from the dead, we received Holy Spirit. And now we're a new creation in Christ. So we can live in the new man and develop what we are saying. Okay, to come into agreement of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and what we can do in Christ. So we need to recognize it's not in our strength. Grace is that is God's ability at work. And it's nothing to do with our works. Okay, we're saved by grace. That's God's unmerited divine favor. That, you know, we know God can do things. But we have to have confidence equally that he's willing to do the things. And we put God to work by releasing the words from our mouth. So we make the tree good, just like Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew 12:23. So if you go there, I want to look at this record again, because it's just very important that we get this in our heart, that we don't just look at it in two or three teachings, but we actually see what it's saying, that we understand it, so that we know that when we're speaking, we're doing it with believing, we're doing it with understanding, and we can be very wise with our words. And as we continue to practice over time, our words will be more word orientated rather than world orientated. So go to Mark 12 and verse 23. So in verse 23, it says, "A good man, out of the good treasure or faults of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure or faults of his heart, bringeth forth evil things." So again, a good man is someone that's putting the word in there. Someone that's believing what God says, that not believing the lies of this world. Someone that has turned his heart to God. An evil man is someone that's still living in this world, in this fallen state, and is saying what the world says. And so whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. It's going to reflect in your actions and how you're living and what you're doing. When a farmer sows his seed, he has faith in the seed he's sowing. And so it works the same when we have faith in what we're saying. So we have to have faith in what we're saying. We need to remember we don't sow a seed and get to harvest it tomorrow. So if I sowed a seed tonight, I'm not going to get it tomorrow. It's going to take time. That seed needs to be watered. That seed needs to die first and then begin to grow up. So in Mark 4:26, we see this. 4, verse 26. Here we go. Mark 4:26. It says, "And he said," Jesus said, "so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how." Okay. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest have come." So we see from this example, it takes time to manifest. If we start saying this faith and confession does not work, then you are right. It will not work for you. But for those that will begin, those whoever will begin to say what God says and continue to say, you will get the harvest of your words. You will reap what you sow. Because the principle in the word we'll look at, if you go to Genesis 8:22, we'll look at this record again. It's great examples. There's a principle in the word, there's a law that's at work, and it's called the law of seed time and harvest. And in Genesis 8:22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So there we see, that's how God set it up. While the earth remains, well, the earth is still remaining. So that principle of seed time and harvest is still available to operate in. And so is cold and heat, is there. It's either cold or it's hot. Like I know in Finland right now, they got the snow. And we're only November the 2nd. So it's cold there. And I'm in my room now and it's nice and hot. We got heat. And then, you know, other people in different parts of the world have the hot summer, like in Africa and places like that. And it says summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So this is a continual thing that will happen. So we have to realize that, you know, it's a continual thing with our words. If we continue to say what God says, then we start to reap and manifest the blessings. If we say what the world says and continue to say that, then we keep reaping the same negative harvest in our life. So we need to also remember that this is a law set up by God for us to use. If you plant a seed, you will receive a harvest. The harvest you will receive will depend upon the seed you have sown, right? A farmer will always sow the seed of the harvest he wants. So if you want peace, then say what the word of God says. If you want abundance, say what the word of God says. If you want to see great outreach, say what the word of God says. We need to find the promises of God for life situation. And we know that in Peter it says that God's word pertains unto life and godliness. So everything that we need to life and living and to be successful as believers is written in the scriptures. So the scriptures are just very powerful. But let's go and see the faith of God. Let's see our principles that he put about seed time and harvest, because this is just very important. We need to grab the concept of, you know, the words that we're speaking, whether negative or positive, they're seeds and it's going to produce a harvest. So in Genesis 1, we go to verse 11. And I love this. You know, all we got to do, really, if we study the first three chapters of Genesis, everything's there in the principles of things, how to move. And in Genesis 1:11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." So everything is after its kind. Seed for herb, seed for grass, seed for fruit, seed of animals, seed of man, and so on, right? Verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." And verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures of his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so." Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 29 of Genesis 1, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." So God shows us about the seed, right? Everything produces after its kind. So if we are confessing fear, right? If we're saying what the word says, then over time, that seed's going to grow and it's going to produce a harvest. We've got to realize that our words are seed and it's going to work, whether you're talking faith or whether you're talking fear. Let's see what it says in Hosea chapter 10, if you go there. I'll give you time to go there. So, you know, what we sow, we're going to reap. And in Hosea 10, verse 12 to 13, it says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness and reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have ploughed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitudes of thy mighty men." God is saying that what we sow, we're going to reap. And he says, break up your fallow ground. In other words, get rid of all the weeds and the stones and everything in that ground that's going to stop that seed from growing, and then start planting the right thing. If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap mercy. So we need to sow the right things to receive the right results, not the wrong things, okay? Psalms 126, we go there as well. And it says in verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know, I looked at that verse there, and you know, you don't see farmers crying when they're sowing their seed. But in other words, it's talking about there's an effort there. And, you know, there's an effort from us that we are to know what the Word of God says. We find that out. And then we may be going through a time period that we're suffering, that things are not working for us. And we don't want to talk the right thing. But the precious seed that we got is the precious seed of the Word of God. And we need to start saying what we want for the future. So if you're going through a tough time right now, if you've got sicknesses, find out what Jesus Christ accomplished and start claiming what is already yours. Start saying that, and then it starts to manifest. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus goes into operation. And we know that if we're in Christ, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Okay, there's no condemnation. In other words, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no lack, there's no poverty. So as we keep going over these same records that I've already spoken on and taught on, we start to see it unfold and the simplicity of it and the beauty of it. Okay, Galatians chapter 6 is another record we can read about sowing and reaping. We're looking at sowing and reaping, but in the context of sowing and reaping with our words. Our words are powerful. Your words will condition your life. What do you want to set on fire in your life? Do you want to set on fire the courses of this world, or do you want to set on fire the power of God? And if you want to set on fire the power of God, we just got to start saying what God says. And again, when we're saying what God says, faith is coming to us. Our faith will be red hot. You know, we'll have no doubts in our heart because we're saying what God says. We know that the word of God works. That is not void, but it accomplished the thing that God wants it to accomplish. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9 says, "Be not deceived." Okay, just don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't fool God. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also." Right? So there's the principle. You sow fear, you're going to get fear back in your life. All right? And you're going to get an abundance of it. Because that little seed of fear will produce a great harvest. Like our seed, little seed of faith will produce great things. Okay? Verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." There you have it right there. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Our end result is that eternal life. And why we're living on the earth is that life which is more abundant now. And it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Just like we read in Psalm, let's not be weary in well-doing. "For in due season, at the right time, at the right and proper time, we shall reap if we faint not." A farmer, if he gets discouraged because he hasn't seen nothing growing, he's going to leave the field unattended. And we don't want to leave our hearts unattended. We want to have that word abundantly overflowing. So I want to go to Ecclesiastes 11:1. And this is a great record. In fact, Ecclesiastes 11:1 through to 6 and onwards is a great record and a totally different teaching, actually, if you work it yourself. But I just want to look at the principle of about sowing and reaping, that what we sow, we're going to receive back. Ecclesiastes 11, first one, it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And I looked this up from the Study Bible, studylight.org, under the Bible Illustrator, and it says this: "This is saying, take us to the banks of the Nile, where every year, as the flood subsided, while the level lands were still all oozed and mud, the farmer went forth and without any ploughing just cast the grain over the mud and simply trampled it in with his flock of goats. He knew that he should find it after many days in those fruitful harvests which made Egypt the granary of the ancient world." So it is not a mere lesson of sowing. It is not cast thy seed upon the water. It is cast thy bread, that which you might use for bread. Cast that on the water, spare even of that to sow for the days to come. Again, great principles. So these guys, at the right time, probably around of October when the rains would come, the ground before that was probably hard and solid, but the rain softened the ground up and it became muddy. And when the cattle used to go through there, it would turn up the ground, or they would plough and they'd just scratch the surface, and then they would cast their wheat on there, their rice seed, bread. They could have ate it themselves to sustain them. They could have made bread out of it or whatever. But again, like, do your own study on this Ecclesiastes 11:1 and the chapter, because it's absolutely fantastic. But for me to go into all of it now, which I haven't had time to really go into it into the depths and study it, but really what I've read about it so far is absolutely fantastic. But the principle we see, what you're giving out, you're going to get back. And here, he could have ate his own bread. He could have ate that seed that he was sowing. And but because he sowed it, he was going to have more than enough, not only for his own bread, but to give and to bless others. And he was sowing for the future. Not, he could have ate his seed right there and then, but then it wouldn't have produced nothing else. It would have sustained him for that time. And it's like with our words. What do you want for the future? What you haven't got now, start saying that you got it. Start saying that it's yours from the word of God. Find that promise. And then as you hold fast to the word of God and the promise of the word, and you're not doubting in your heart, you will manifest it. God will find a way to get it to you, because God's word is faithful. So I thought that was just really, really wonderful in Ecclesiastes 11:1. And I encourage anyone that's listened to this, go and work that Ecclesiastes 11:1. I'm going to go and look at it down the road, but I'm not going to do that right now. But in Ecclesiastes 11:4, I like this one also. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." So this is speaking of someone who makes excuses for not doing things. So just because the wind is blowing is no reason not to sow. The idea is to find a way to sow in the wind, not to make excuses why you cannot sow. The very same thing is true with regard and reaping. There are a thousand excuses that we could, you know, make why you cannot reap, but that will not bring the crops. No one will benefit from the crops that are there. If we look at the excuse, if we observe the wind, if we observe the circumstances, and it's the same, you know, when things are going on in our life, you know, we're observing the circumstances and saying what the circumstances said. We're not going to reap the blessings of what we could have if we start saying God's word rather than the circumstances. So that was the heart of me sharing those two verses there. But like I said, there's a whole wonderful meaning behind these things in Ecclesiastes 11:4. I'd like you to go to 1 Peter 1:22. And this is another wonderful record. And it says in verse 22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And this just jumped out at me. It says, "Seeing if you purified your heart in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." You know, it's through the Spirit of God that we are renewed. It's not through our own effort trying to renew our minds, but it's just by saying what God says. It's coming into agreement, realizing what Christ has accomplished for us, and saying those things. Coming into agreement with the Word of God and building our faith, making our heart strong, making our the ground of our heart prepared, ready for that seed, and we continue to water that seed by saying the Word, then we will get a harvest. And I just love that. And in 1 Peter 1:23 it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." See, the seed that we've got within us, which we received when we made Jesus Christ our Lord, is the gift of Holy Spirit. It's the seed, the Holy Spirit, okay? And that seed is growing in us as we focus our attentions on God, as we put God's word in our heart, as we set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. That spirit man in us is growing as we're speaking in tongues, as we're operating the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, as we're filling our heart with the word of God. Then, man, we're powerful people. Right, God has made us powerful people, but we're the ones that have to activate it. We're the ones, if we're going to manifest God's power and show forth that Spirit of God in us, we speak in tongues. We have to open our mouth and we have to speak. Okay, if we're going to minister healing to people, we're going to have to do the command. We're going to have to release our words with faith and lay our hands on. There's something that we do. There is an effort that we do. In James 3:18 it says, "And the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So again, I just wanted to go over and just look at about sowing and reaping with our words, to make us realize, to remind ourselves, for those that are already knowledgeable of this subject, that your words are powerful. They're either going to make you successful or they're going to defeat you. And we have to consider what we've been saying. If you're in a believer right now, you're going through challenges, you're going through situations, I encourage you, don't say what you see, but say what you want. Say the promises of God. Find the promises of God for your situation. Get that word in your heart. Start muttering it, like Joshua 1:8, when God told him to put that word in his heart and to meditate upon it. That word meditate in Joshua 1:8 means to mutter, to say the word to yourself. Say it to yourself. Give voice to the word. And then you'll start to release the power of God. You know, you're putting your faith to work. You're releasing that faith, which is a force. We need to know what the Word of God says about this. And it's just very, very powerful. And I've been practicing it. I'm seeing great things happen for me. And things changing already. Even my outlook, when I'm discouraged, when I start saying what the Word of God says, I start to see my faith change and my attitudes change. And now I'm getting into more of a rhythm of calling those things not as though they were, like God did in Romans. So this is what I want to share with you, encourage you, get practicing. Don't just listen to these teachings. Ain't no good to you just listening. Okay, we need to get the word and we need to do it. And then from that will come our testimonies of what God has done through our faith and confession. Some people need a refresher course in this, some people need reminding, and some people will be learning this for the first time. So I encourage you, get doing it. That's how the word's going to move. This is how the word's going to go over the world, not through us studying all the time, even though we need to study. It's very important to study, so I'm not saying we don't study, but we need to practice. We need to apply the principles of the word of God, and this is one great way, okay, of practicing, holding fast to the confession of our faith and saying what God says. So God bless you.